hope everybody's just turning over and kind of half waking up and listening. Got a lot of good stories coming up, but also a lot of fun stuff you can check out and peruse while you're just hanging around the house before you get everything rolling. One is on Facebook. Where's the other one, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And there's a lot of cool links there. If you're looking for some events that are going on, you'll be able to find them there as well. And it covers the expanse of North America, I believe, right, Donald?
All 50 states.
Yep.
All 50 states you can go to.
We don't have anything for Canada in there.
No, but we could work on that. Maybe we should.
We have to think about that. Well, I know one thing that's going on from Canada, Don.
What's that?
Super pigs are coming.
Oh, no.
We got super pigs.
Well, that's the last place I thought they'd be coming from.
I saw the story. I just about fell over laughing. I said, what? Now, have you ever been down to Texas and seen the pigs down there?
I have not.
Feral pigs?
I have not.
Okay. I've seen a car that hit a feral pig, you know, probably a 100-pound pig.
Yeah, not good.
Totaled.
Yeah. They're fairly...
They're low enough to the ground. It's the most solid, compact thing, and not good.
So tell me about these.
Well,
super
so
pigs.
Feral pigs in general, they're a big issue. Some people may not understand what goes on. But when they get into an area, they breed like rabbits, literally. They explode in population. And when they eat, they dig and eat roots. So they dig up the ground. I mean, literally tear up everything. Doesn't matter what it is. They tear it up and the ground is shot. They'll destroy areas that are massive. So then they try to trap them. Well, so what's going on is, and the story goes like this. As we know, pigs are smart animals, and these things can grow to over 600 pounds and extremely difficult to get rid of. A crossbred super pig from Canada is poised to wreak havoc on the environment in the United States, and they definitely have something they need to get their hands and arms and everything around. The pigs are easily the worst invasive animal mammal on the planet, they said, and that was one of the people from the poultry science at the University of Saskatchewan. These super pigs are actually a cross between a European wild boar and a domestic pig. The pigs cause crop damage, destroy natural environments, get into cities, destroy water quality, and spread disease to humans, livestock, pets, and native wildlife. The pigs are coming into the United States from Canada as their numbers swell in Canada, causing populations to migrate south. Left unchecked, these super pigs could negatively impact about everyone. Two feral super pigs were photographed in Canada, and they said it's extremely dangerous because the numbers that were, they just saw two. There's a ton more. The only people that should be worried about this is anyone that lives in North America and eats meat or eats vegetables or eats any foods based on grains, crops, or spends time outside for any reason. That's the only people I have to worry, Don.
Man, they're going to have to multiply quick.
They do multiply quick. So here are the reasons that these are dangerous. It's twofold. First, they lack a natural predator.
Other than human.
That's right. Wild boar farmers were told to cross the wild boar with domestic pigs to make a bigger and longer animal. There are no native pigs in Canada. Anything that sounds like a pig, looks like a pig, has been imported. The first European wild boars were imported to Canada back in the 80s to diversify that country's agriculture. While these boars sometimes managed to escape their fences after the wild boar market peaked in 01, some farmers had no more use for the animals. Many producers cut their fences and let them go.
Oh, boy.
Initially, it was believed these wild boars would never survive the Canadian winter. And they told it, particularly, obviously, the harsh cold of the prairie provinces of Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Alberta. The comment now is they must be met with a highly aggressive response and rapid. And
okay, so we're talking Western Canada. That would be above North Dakota, Montana.
Yep.
Idaho, Washington.
Mm-hmm. And they have a unique set of circumstances to the super pigs. Wild boar farmers are told to cross the two. And the domestic pig has an extra set of ribs and has larger, more frequent litters. This is great for wild boar farmers, but it's a huge problem when they got into the wild. And the wild boar portion of the European side was designed to survive harsh winters and grows to large sizes. Additionally, the scientific concept called Bergman's Rule has come into play, potentially disastrous environmental end. Bergman's Rule states that the specimens in a species will tend to be larger the farther south you go in their range, because being big is really important to survival in the cold. It's proven true for the super pig. The largest one they've discovered right now is over 600 pounds.
It's a good size pig.
A typical male feral hog is 220 pounds. That came from a USDA study. The animal size, along with intelligence, made them capable of surviving harsh conditions and therefore extremely hard to eradicate. He notes they've even learned how to tunnel into caves to keep themselves warm.
Wow.
One way to eradicate them is put a GPS tracker on a Judas pig and hope the pig joins a pack. Oh, it's much warmer under the snow than on top of it, so getting these wild pigs eradicated is extremely important. And he said, once they've established, you'll have them for another 500 years. Wow, Don.
Well, you know, I would have to believe, because we're talking the mountainous side of Canada there, or on each side of the mountains in the flatlands is probably where they're going to have to be. I don't know if they'll... will do well in steep terrain.
Well, probably not, but there's a massive amount of open prairie in that area, if you've ever driven up there.
Oh, yeah. Saskatchewan's huge. Manitoba is huge.
I've been up there, and I'm telling you right now. Well, here's the thing. They'll get larger. That's the reason that they're going south. And how much flatland do you have coming south? A lot.
Oh, yeah.
And what is North Dakota, South Dakota? Yeah. There you have it.
They'll run into trouble when they get to North and South Dakota, though.
If they can find somebody to go hunt them.
Oh, yeah. It'll be open season on them.
Yeah, that'll be entertaining. But they, I don't know, like rabbits, man. That's the problem you're having in Texas. So.
Yeah.
Another story coming out of Utah. You wouldn't have thought this would be something that would happen. Like you had asked me when you talked about it off air. Utah is enacting a statewide emergency shed hunting closure to protect big game. The emergency restriction applies to both public and private lands and will remain in effect until the end of April. They made the decision in order to protect vulnerable wintering ungulates, especially mule deer. The biologists have been monitoring the deer health as well as the snow depth and temp. According to the monitoring efforts, the unusually high snowpack and extremely cold winter have begun to impact fawn survival rates and may also impact adult deer winter survival rates. In these conditions, big game animals are weakened and highly vulnerable to repeated human-caused disturbances. Unnecessary expenditures of energy and stress associated is part of the reason. So when people are going and hunting, now what ends up happening, shed hunting, in winter when it's definitely hard snow, you probably know, Don, they yard up is basically what happens. They trample the snow. It makes it easier for them to move around, eat, everything else. Of course, the area gets pretty heavily fed upon as far as trees and everything else. But nonetheless, they can move at least because it's snow. I mean, we're talking 10 feet of snow. So the unnecessary expenditure of moving out of that area if somebody decides to go, because obviously sheds will be in that area.
Right.
That's the difficult part when somebody goes and does the shed hunting. It applies to both sheds and dead heads. Skulls and antlers attached are also part of it. And the winter activity disturbing wildlife, they're urging everyone to be aware of impact on vulnerable deer and elk. And first time they have had a prohibited shed hunt since 2017. The closure is not only emergency action, but they're also a there's a fine if you do that, and it's considered to be intentionally harassing wildlife. and it would result in a fine of $1,000 and 6 months in prison.
Yikes. It isn't worth it.
No, it's not. If we, if you look at that kind of thing. Sad. Tough winter all over the United States right now. Well, stay tuned. We are going to be back. We're talking a little bit about a lead ban that's gaining some traction. Stay tuned. Be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hey, Don.
Yes.
You were at the SHOT Show.
I was.
They're talking about ammunition and everything else.
Yes.
Did anybody talk about pricing any of the ammo?
No, not really. I mean, I did discover a new company that is now, it's a European company that is making a biodegradable shot.
Really?
Yeah. It's about, I asked them what kind of increased cost there would be. It would be about $2 per box for a biodegradable
shot. So what's the pattern like? I mean, is it to have the carrying distance of a lead?
I've got some information at home on it, but in my office, I don't know that it would be as effective as lead, but we run into the same thing, you know, with lead and tungsten and copper coated. And I mean, they all have a different pattern or a different, what do you want to
keep? Steel, same.
Steel kill distance. I mean, if you're hunting upland game in South Dakota, you literally carry two
versions
of shells, because if you're on private land or public land, you got to change it out every time. You don't have to, but you're much more effective with lead. I can tell you that.
Yep, for sure. Well, the study was done, a survey, and it shows that hunters and shooters are affected by the rising ammunition costs. Now, this is going to be telling. You're going to hear some interesting numbers here. Results of the 2022 survey, hunters and shooters indicated that an increase likely would have a negative effect on participation. Ammunition prices have increased anywhere from 200 to 850% since 2000. Although the reasons behind increases are complex, there has been little attention paid to the potential effect it have on hunting and shooting participation. Recently, there's been an increased interest in eliminating lead altogether, which is a story we're going to follow up with here, because concerned over toxicity to wildlife. In Colorado, for example, HR 23106 would require hunters to pay a $13 surcharge on every hunting license sold to fund a voluntary program to swap out lead ammunition for non-toxic alternatives. Fiscal analysis by the bill, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, suggests that less than 20% hunters would take advantage of the program. Okay. Odd. More broadly, 2022 cost comparison between lead and non-toxic ammunition indicate that non-toxic alternatives were 20 to 350% more expensive.
Yeah, they are.
The assumption has been that expense is not a significant factor affecting hunting or shooting participation, and that was a general assumption. This untested belief seems implausible for no other reason than the fact that the cost obviously affects virtually every aspect of human behavior. If something costs more, you're not going to do it as much. Fuel prices affect driving. Pharmaceutical and grocery prices affect purchase. Interest rates affect home buying, et cetera, et cetera. And participants, this is how it went, Don. They were asked how their hunting and shooting plans over the next 12 months might be affected if allowable harvest decreased or increased by 50%, ammunition costs increased or decreased 50%, license prices increased, decreased, same amount, the weather was 10 degrees warmer or cooler than average, and how much would it affect their ability to spend time practicing or
hunting,
doing whatever. I would shoot or hunt substantially less. So I would do more or whatever. Out of the initial 3,000 participants, 3,000 usable surveys, 92% completion rate. Respondents would hunt substantially 20% or somewhat 40% less, 48% less if ammunition prices increased by 50%. The combined average, 67%, was greater than the combined average of people who indicated they would hunt less if either licenses increased by 50% or allowable harvest decreased by 50%. Results for shooting mirrored those for hunting. Survey participants indicated that 50% increase in ammo would translate to a 56% decrease in time percentage spent at the range.
Right. I mean, it's a, in a nutshell, you're talking about pricing yourself out of the market. If the, you know, if that's the direction it goes.
Yeah. Which leads us perfectly into the next story. Minnesota bill is targeting trapping and lead tackle. There is a bill out introduced by Representative Pete Fisher. He's a six-term DFLer from Maplewood. He is looking to ban lead fishing tackle and eventually the sale and manufacture of it as well. Another element would eliminate trapping. And make trapping almost ineffective. You couldn't do it because of the strict restriction on the trap itself. Both trapping and lead tackle have been introduced by Fisher. He's the finance director of a nonprofit organization. Another bill would prohibit it. Hunting wolves, even if the species is removed from the Federal Endangered Species Act. The trapping side of it, they're looking at eliminating body grip trap and encapsulated foot traps. And they're introduced that particular bill that was, in my mind, a little out of line in this particular case. They tried this before. The sale of fishing tackle head lead would be prohibited beginning in July 1st of 2025. Eliminating that tackle would be devastating to the industry. Dan DeAger, you know Dan. He owns JB Lures, friend of ours.
Yep.
And, of course, that would have involving tackle and ammunition. So we're going to keep our eye on that, Don, and keep you guys posted. But it's introduced. It hasn't passed yet. But you know how that's going right now. Well, hey, guys, thanks for joining us. I'm Eric for Ava, Don. We are the Valley Outdoors. Have a great weekend, inside or outside. See ya.